Today we're reading from the book of Isaiah, so if you could open your Bibles or your electronic devices or whatever you have, to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. If you don't have a Bible or if you'd like one, like Clayton said earlier, over on the resource table, there is Bibles available for you to take. Again, we're reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil for joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The word of God. We welcome Pastor Brian up to give us today's message. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. You may be seated. We have been going through a series of messages a while back, stating what's your problem. A few weeks back, we started a series called What's Your Problem, and then you have really responded to that. I've had a number of people come up and tell me how much they've really enjoyed that series, and it's been a benefit to them, so I'm glad to hear that. But we've joked around a little bit at the beginning of this series, and we talked about if you've got people constantly coming up to you saying, hey, what's your problem? Well, then maybe you need to figure out what your problem is. And in all honesty, I don't believe that we don't necessarily know what our problem is. Quite often, I think we do know what our problem is. We just don't want to deal with it. And so so if that's you here today, then I pray that God will work on your heart and will help you solve the problems that you have, that you've been facing. But we looked at a number of problems already before the break there, and we've looked at anger. We've looked at envy. We looked at worry. And today is going to be our fourth problem here we're going to look at, and we're going to be talking about dealing with depression today. It's interesting that the timing of this, because we just had this week Are You Okay Day here at the school, where we went and we fed over 300 breakfasts for people at the school here and people in our community. And as our guys back there, our volunteers, as they we're back there slaving away. We had the opportunity to go and engage people in conversation as they're waiting on their food. And we got a chance to talk with a lot of the school staff here. And can I say the reputation of this church in our community is amazing. We've got people that are unchurched, that don't go to church, and yet they know all about Haven Baptist Church. And I think that's because of the connection that we have here with this school. The school is always promoting us, and I'm grateful for that. In fact, they had an event down at the Oval, and I went and checked with the principal, because the assistant principal, because he was having some trouble with the sound equipment. So I went down there to help him out, and I told him I was leaving. He says, well, just hang on if you want to. He says, in about 20 minutes, we're going to be announcing your church and all the guys that I've done. So I was grateful to hear that. I didn't stick around for it, but I was grateful to hear that. That they're actually promoting us in our own community here. And so that's the reputation we want. And so I want to say thank you for all those that really helped out. We've had a number of stakeholders in our community. They come and they look at all of our volunteers. They're like, wow, I can't believe you got all these people together to come and help out. And so it's people like you and your volunteering that really makes our church here. And so I'm grateful for that. But also we had an opportunity to talk with people while they're waiting in line. Most of them actually just wanted their bacon and egg sandwich. They're baking an egg roll, which is good. That's what they were there for. But we also had an opportunity just to go and talk to people and say, hey, are you okay? This is what we're celebrating. This is what we're wanting to bring attention to today. Are you okay? How was your week? And for most, they were pretty grateful that, you know, we would even ask the question. There were some that had some sick kids, and she was telling me about all her week, and some are struggling financially, and some are struggling with jobs. And so we get a chance to talk to a few people about life, but the idea is that they know that we're here, and if they want the opportunity to come and talk with us and have a discussion with us, then we have the chance to speak into their lives. And so, but thank you for those that are involved in that, and we're grateful for that. But depression is a common problem. One that we all struggle with from time to time. The good news is that God wants to help you with your problem, and He can help you with your problem of depression. In fact, Jesus touched on this topic during His very first sermon when He read Isaiah 61 in a synagogue that Clint just read for us. But let's take the time to go through it again. Isaiah 61, chapter 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Notice that. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of the captives, and to open up the prisons to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort," notice this, "all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." This is not the only place in Scripture where we see the imagery of trees representing people. And as we go through different trials and tribulations, God has planted us like sturdy oak trees of righteousness so that others can see God's work in our lives and through our lives as we go through these trials and tribulations we face in this life. And He receives the glory and honor that He's deserving of. So let's start with prayer here this morning. Lord, we thank You for all that You've done for us. And Lord, as we deal with this topic of depression, Lord, we know that it is indeed an issue that many people go through, as we'll discover here this morning. But Lord, I pray that if there's any here this morning, Lord, that may be struggling with this, that God, You would speak to their hearts here this morning, and they would be able to get the help that they require, Lord, in order to remove that depression from their lives, Lord, so they can live an effective life here. And so, Lord, as we think about the people that aren't here, I know there's a number of people that are sick, and Lord, the weather is not good today, and as we can hear the wind whipping around out there, and it's days like this that maybe even cause us sometimes to be depressed. But Lord, I pray that through Your Word today, that we would be able to hear the truth and apply it to our hearts, Lord. And we thank You in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's talk about the problem of depression. The problem of depression. Depression is a major problem in our society. Depression is a serious condition that can be incapacitating, devastating, and even deadly for some of those who suffer from it. According to the Australian government, Department of Health and Disability and Aging, almost half of all Australian adults, 7.3 million people, will face mental ill health at some point. That's a lot of people. It can affect anyone at any stage of life and have a negative impact not only on your life but also on the people around you and your community and Australia as a whole. People living with the mental ill health are at high risk of physical health issues, being unemployed, homelessness, and prison. And the estimated cost, according to this study, of the mental ill health on Australian economy, get this, is up to $220 billion a year. $220 billion a year is what it costs the Australian economy. Now, while the societal costs of depression are significant, the toll that it can take on an individual can be enormous. And I think we all can agree that depression is a big problem, not just for us individually, but also society as well. I think we can all agree with that. I can just look around. You see it all around us. Depression affects people of all ages and all ethnicities and all levels of society. Many godly people in the Bible suffer from depression, including some you may recognize, Moses and Job and David and Elijah and Jeremiah and Paul. All of them face depression. Many godly men and women throughout church history have also struggled with depression. Two of the main ones you may be familiar with are Martin Luther and Charles Spurgeon. They battled depression. So if you've ever struggled with depression, then I want you to know, listen, this morning, you're not alone. You're not alone. I mean, there's been times in my life where one time I actually thought about getting out of ministry because I was so depressed. And so I want you to understand that you don't have to face this alone. We all can experience this. We are broken people living in a broken world, and depression is one of the aspects of brokenness. That's why we need to remember that Jesus came to help you with your problems, including the problem of depression. Now, Jesus said that He came to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to bestow on you beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness for the glory of our Lord. So, let's talk about understanding depression here this morning. Because there is a difference between depression and godly sorrow. Before we look at how God helps you with your depression, first we've got to take some time to better understand the problem. And just like other problems that we've looked at in this series, depression has a positive counterpart. We've seen that the Bible speaks about a righteous anger. The Bible has talked about a godly jealousy instead of envy, a godly concern instead of worry. The Bible also talks about godly sorrow. In other words, it's not necessarily sinful to be sad. We live in a fallen world that is broken by sin, and there are times when it's right and appropriate to be sad. The book of Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, "Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fool is in the house of mirth." There is godly wisdom in sadness that mourns the broken state of this world in which we live. Where mourners gather to celebrate funerals and deceased friends versus a house of feasting where people meet to indulge their appetites and eating and drinking and often to do it excessively. The house of mourning will have a profound effect on them and awaken them to prepare for it. Whereas the feasting is commonly attended by with lightheartedness and many temptations, rendering men's mind reluctant to spiritual and heavenly thoughts. When one observes the life of Jesus, one sees that He spent more time in the house of mourning than He did in the house of feasting. This is where He did His greatest work. In the Psalms, in Psalms 119, verses 136, it says, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law." He was saddened by how mankind has moved away from the law of God. And we see this in the New Testament as well. In the second letter of Corinthians, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, "For even if I have made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a good manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Godly sorrow is sorrow over sin and its consequences. It is right and appropriate to mourn the sin in this world, and the sin in others, and especially sin in ourselves. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets, but worldly sorrow, the Scripture tells us, brings death. So that's godly sorrow. So what then is depression? It has been described as sadness, emptiness, hopelessness, darkness, heaviness, a weight. There is obviously a range of emotions that can be experienced with depression, from feeling down to having a blue day. It's interesting how the schools now, they use different colors in order to show emotions, and blue is one that shows depression. So we can have a blue day, and we can experience those things, and we can even go to the extent of what we may call severe or clinical depression. The main differences between normal and clinical depression is the duration and the severity of the depression and whether it interferes with normal functioning. Some of the symptoms of clinical depression include the following. a depressed mood most of the day, nearly every day, diminished interest or pleasures in all or most activities, significant weight loss when not dieting, or weight gain, or significant decrease or increase in appetite, changes in sleep habits, whether insomnia or sleeping too much, restlessness, fatigue, sluggishness, lack of energy or fatigue, feeling of worthlessness or excessive or inappropriate guilt, difficulty thinking, concentrating, or making decisions, reoccurring thoughts of death or suicide. And it's been said that if you exhibit five or more of these symptoms for a period of 2 weeks or longer, then you may be dealing with a severe or clinical depression and you need some help. And let me encourage you to get help if that's the case. Let me encourage you to seek out help and not do this alone. So then, what causes depression? What causes depression? Although depression is usually a response to disappointment, pain, and loss, there may be physical, emotional, or spiritual causes to depression as well. So let's talk about those. First of all, let's talk about physical causes. Physical causes can include low blood sugar, low iron levels, chemical imbalances, hormone imbalances, or lack of sleep. Some people may have a genetic disposition towards depression. Dr. Archibald Hart advises the more serious the depression is in the absence of recent significant loss, the more likely it is that the cause is biological. So research shows that twice as many women as men suffer from depression. And a lot of this has to do with the physical cause. Women experience more physical changes in their body than men do, from monthly cycles to postpartum to changes to menopause. People often ask, is it okay to take medication to treat depression? And the answer to that, it depends. It depends. If there is truly a physical imbalance, then medication may be helpful to address that imbalance. But you need to be careful with medication. Some people use medication simply to mask the emotional pain or the guilt from sin so that they don't have to deal with it. There are times when medication can actually be the cause of the person's depression. They don't do this here in Australia, but they do this in the States. As you go and you watch TV, one of the things that they do is they have these advertisements. And a lot of these advertisements that come on TV are pharmaceutical. And so whatever ailment you have, whatever problem you have, they've got a drug for you. And so they'll go through and, like, for instance, like depression, they'll go and show up a drug and they'll show these people who are really sad and unhappy, and then they go and they take this medication and all of a sudden they're happy and they're glad and they're like, hey, great, life's wonderful, life's good. And then they'll go and spend about 2 minutes in a very fast voice to go through and talk about all the side effects that this medication may cause. And they just go through the gamut. You may be taking it for depression, but it may cause, you know, high blood pressure. It may cause embolism. It may cause your lungs to clap, your organs fall out. I don't know. Whatever, the whole list of things. And by the time you go through and you listen to all those side effects, you're thinking, you know what? I'll just keep my depression. You know, I'm not going to get into all that. And oftentimes, what you're trying to take the medication for is actually listed as part of the side effects. And so you're taking medication for depression. Well, the side effects may be depression. You're like, why bother? And so you got to be careful with drugs. You need to be careful with medication. Medication can be helpful, but it also can be a mask or even the culprit if we're not careful. But also, there's some emotional causes as well. We got the physical causes there. Also, there's some emotional causes. There can be some emotional causes that may lead to depression. Traumatic events, severe loss, emotional overload, stacking stressors, and even unresolved anger can lead to depression. Jonah in the Bible is an example of depression due to anger. Jonah was so depressed that he told God in Jonah chapter 4, verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Many of you may know the story, but if you don't, God called Jonah to go and preach to the wicked Ninevites. And Jonah, instead, he did a runner. He didn't want to go and preach to the Ninevites. He wanted God to destroy them. He wanted God to deal with them. Why is that? Because they were such wicked people. And if you actually go and study the Ninevites and some of the things they've done, I mean, some of the things that happened with Hamas and Israel at the Nova Festival. I mean, it's sort of along that line. I mean, they were wicked people. Some of the things were they did were inhumane and very cruel. And they did this to Jonah's people. And so therefore, he was like, hey, no, I'm going to stand back. Let God deal with them. Let God destroy them. But that wasn't God's plan for him. And so God brought him back in line with a great fish, and he preached the impending judgment, which I'm sure he wanted to do because he wanted the judgment to take place on them if they didn't repent. But instead, what they did is they took the message to heart and they repented. But Jonah wanted judgment instead of repentance, and he became angry. He said, see, God, I told you. He didn't want them to repent. And then, and as a result of that, he says, I might as well just die. Just take my life from me. Life is over. And then God goes and asks him, what right do you have to be angry? Who are you to be angry? You see, his emotion of anger caused him to be depressed. But also there's some spiritual causes as well. It can be physical causes, can lead to depression. Emotional causes can lead to depression, but there can be spiritual causes that can lead to depression as well. These are things like sin and guilt and bitterness and unforgiveness and a lack of thankfulness, and even spiritual attacks can lead to depression. And the tricky thing about depression is that even though the cause may be physical, emotional, or spiritual, the results can affect you in all three of these areas. So even if the cause is physical, or physical depression can also affect you emotionally and spiritually as well. Or if it's spiritually, it can affect you physically or emotionally as well. It can have an impact on you. Jay Adams is a book. I've got a number of his books at my house, and he does a lot of books on counseling, especially for pastors and things. And he was doing some research, and he followed one of these doctors who was not a Christian. He was an atheist. But one of the things he noticed from him is that with his research and study, he came to the conclusion that a lot of times, a lot of these psychiatrical problems that people are having is a result of some issues that they're dealing with in their life that haven't been resolved. And so he began to follow this guy, and he worked with him at some of the mental institutions, and they were counseling some people together. And here's what he says. He says, we discovered with astonishing consistency that the main problem people were having in this mental institution were of their own making. Others were not the problem. They themselves were their worst enemy. Some had written bad checks, and some had been entangled in consequences of immorality. Some have cheated on their income taxes, and so on. Many have escaped to the institution to avoid the repercussions of their wrongdoing. A number has sought to avoid the responsibility of a difficult situation or difficult decision. And we also saw evidence of dramatic recovery when people straighten out these matters. This is the information they've come up with based on the research. He believed that most of them were in this mental institution not because they were sick, but because they were sinful, and they refused to deal with their sin. Depression can be due to your spiritual condition, especially if it is unconfessed sin. Whatever the cause, if you are experiencing depression, well, then you need some help. You need some help. So let's talk about dealing with depression and what the Bible tells us about dealing with depression here this morning. Okay? So dealing with depression. Now, when we talk about dealing with depression, there's kind of two aspects of this. Dealing with people who have depression, and also dealing with depression within yourself as well. So let's first of all talk about ministering to others with depression. So how do you help a family or a friend who may be going through a time of depression? Well, let me share with you three essential things here this morning. First thing we want to do is that we want to be present. We want to be present. You don't even need to say much. You just, your physical presence there is so important. Job and his three friends, they may have gotten it right. Later wrong, they didn't, but their initial instinct was probably correct. In Job chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came to his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite and Zophar the Nineveh, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn him and to comfort him. So Job's friends realize, hey, there's a problem here. There's something happened with Job. He's lost his family. He's lost his health. He's lost all of his belongings and his property. And so they went there in order to help him, to be there for him. They didn't wait for Job to call out for help. They went to him because they realized and they recognized that there was a need. And when they raised their eyes from afar, they did not recognize him. They lifted their voices and they wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head towards heaven. They mourned with him. They wept with him. And so they sat down with him on the ground. Notice this, for 7 days and seven nights, no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was great. They were present during their friend's time of need. They were there when they needed him. And Jesus is also our example here. Jesus left the comforts of heaven to be present with us in our sorrows. The prophet Isaiah described him in Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and he was rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Jesus shows us the importance of being present. He came to this earth. He took on the trials and the temptations that we face so that he could be there with us. He could understand what we're going through. He could be our high priest. He could be our mediator because he understands what we are facing and what we're struggling and what we're going through because he's been there. He was present for us, and we need to be present for our friends who are going through depression, to be present and to listen and to let them share their heartache with us. But also, we want to show compassion. We want to show compassion. God the Father is our example here. In Psalms chapter 103, verse 13, it says, as the Father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows how weak and frail we can be, and how frail we are and fragile we are, and he has compassion on us. When a person is dealing with depression, it is not a time for either hurtful criticism or insensitive pep talks. God instructs us in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And oftentimes the best thing we can do is just come alongside somebody else and put our arm around them and just weep with them and just cry with them and take on some of their emotional pain and show some compassion. But also, we want to offer hope. We want to offer hope. Remember, the person dealing with depression has a distorted perspective here. They are deep in their pits and they can't see the light from where they are. You need to remind them that the light is still there. You need to offer them the hope that they can no longer see the light on their own. You need to pray for them and lift them up to the Lord. You need to look them in the eyes and hold their hands and tell them with a deep sincerity and compassion that it will get better, because it will get better. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There will be a time when they will be comforted. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulations, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. How do you go and help somebody who is dealing with depression? Well, be present. Be there with them. Don't allow them to go through this alone. Show some compassion. Now is not the time to give them the pep talks and criticize them. Show compassion for what they're going through, and then offer hope. Let them know that this is not the end. This will pass. It'll get better. But also, what about when you are depressed? This is how you help others. This is how you help someone else who is struggling with depression. But what about when it's you and you're the one that is depressed? What do you do then? Well, let me give you six guidelines here from the Bible that will help you when you yourself are depressed. First of all, let me encourage you to put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Psalms chapter 42, verse 5 says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" Here, David is talking to himself. He's saying, come on, David, what's your problem? Why are you so down? Why are you downcast? What's going on, David? He's talking to himself. Hope in God, he says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Listen, there's a lot of people that they seem to talk themselves into depression. They go and tell themselves, well, you know, nobody cares about me. I'm not really all that important. Nobody loves me. And they can talk themselves into depression. But I want you to understand here this morning that you can also talk yourself out of depression. David here was talking about, hey, look, what's going on with me? What's going on with my heart? Why is my soul so downcast in me? Hope in God. Come on, David. Work with me here. Hope in God. He wanted to encourage himself in the Lord. Yet, for I shall praise him for the help of his countenance, he says. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And then be honest with God. Because he already knows anyway. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're struggling with. So you might as well be honest with God. And here's what David does. He says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. He admits to God, God, this is the problem that I'm having here. This is the problem that I'm struggling with. Therefore, I will, notice this, remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Harmon and from the hill of Mitzar. He says, I will remember. He didn't go and ask God, remind me. No, he put it upon himself, I will remember. He chooses to remember those things. Remember the victories of the past when God assisted you and helped you in your time of need. You see, we need to take our thoughts into captivity. If we don't do that, then we will allow our thoughts to dictate how we feel sometimes. And the Scripture says we need to take our thoughts into captivity and we need to force ourselves to remember the things that God has done for us. David was probably away from the place of worship, and which contributed to some of his discouragement. And with that, let me encourage you, when you're discouraged, come and worship. That's one of the things that you can do. Don't sit there and say, well, you know, I don't want to come today, or I don't want to be a part of it, I don't want to be around Christians today. Hey, listen, that's when you need to be around Christians. He remembered the things of God, and he came and he worshiped the Lord. When your soul was cast down, put your hope in God. Trust that he will see you through this. Right when in the middle of his depression, he says, he talked about his God will bring him through this. He will remember the things of God. When your soul is cast down, put your hope in God. Trust that he will see you through this. And when you're depressed, it's like walking in darkness. Isaiah described it this way in Isaiah 50, verse 10. He says, who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Notice what he says. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. When you're going through those dark times, when you're going through those valleys and you're struggling in life, that's the time where you need to trust in the Lord and you need to call upon his name. When you have lost all hope and everything else, you can still put your hope in God. One of the ways I encourage myself is sometimes is through listening to some good Christian music. Sometimes I may get down and I'm a little bit out and I'll pop my headset on and I'll just go for a walk. And before long, you know, I just keep walking. And pretty soon, man, I'm dancing in the street. I'm dancing and people drive by and look at me like, man, this guy's on something. You know, what's going on with him? Well, what it is I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart. You know, I can build myself up by just listening to some good Christian music or maybe listen to a good podcast or something that could be encouraging to me. Isaiah calls it the place of darkness, but he encourages us. And he says, who among you fears the Lord? Obey his voice. Call upon the name of the Lord. I've got the joy of the Lord whenever I get down and depressed. When I get out there and I start to encourage myself. And see, that seems to be the problem sometimes. Is those who are often depressed, oftentimes they get comfortable in their depression. It becomes a part of their identity. It becomes a part of who they are. And they don't really take any time and effort to try to work their way out of that. They don't make any forward movements in order to remove themselves from that depression. Let me encourage you to take that step. Encourage yourself in the Lord. But also, we want to trust God's purposes. We want to trust God's purposes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, that the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. This is a great verse for people who are struggling with depression. This is a great verse. Nothing is ever wasted with God. When you put your hope in God and receive God's comfort through Jesus Christ, God will use you to minister to others who were also in trouble. God is working in and through you, even in your darkest times. And you will find your deepest place of ministry comes out of the deepest place of pain in your life. When you go through something that's tragic, then oftentimes you're the very person that can help others who also go through tragic things like that in their lives. This is why Paul could write in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Notice this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You need to trust in God's purposes. This past week, I've been hearing a lot about Charlie Kirk, who got martyred for Jesus Christ. I personally never heard of him. And I know I talk to people and they're like quite surprised. You never heard of him? And I said, no, I'm sorry. I've never. I mean, I'm not in those circles. I don't spend a lot of time on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and all those things. I just don't have time for all that. And so I don't know who he was. But I kept seeing, you know, different things come up about him and on the news and whatnot. And I said, I'm going to go find out who this guy is. And so I began to search him and do some research. And so I've listened to a number of his debates this past week. And man, this guy was brilliant. He was good. And I'm sorry I sort of missed out on him. I didn't get a chance to hear him more than what I had. And we can look at this and we can be quite depressed and thinking about his life and how we may think it's cut short and it's a waste and how he could help so many other people. And we think about his family and the struggles now that they're going through. But the more and more I hear about this guy and the more I see what's happening, I'm almost convinced that he will probably maybe reach more people in his death than he did while he was living. Because even his enemies, I was reading some of the comments of those who were atheists. And some of the atheists went and wrote, said, hey, you know what? I love this guy. Though I may disagree with him, the way that he debated with such respect. And they just loved listening to hear him debate, even though they were themselves atheists. And even we've got, you know, terrorist groups that are now, you know, celebrating the fact that he is dead. He's no longer alive. But what's going to happen to these other people who follow those terrorists, they're going to be seeing this guy's name and like, well, who is this guy? And then they're going to get online. They're going to be saying, oh, hang on. And they're going to be able to hear the gospel. They're going to be able to hear the truth. Who knows how God may use this? And his wife even got on, and from what I understand, and she said that people wanted to silence him. But they don't know the power of a grieving a widow when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some people were even saying that she may be the next Elizabeth Elliot and what she's going to do as a result of this. But even in situations like that, we must learn to trust God's purposes. We have to trust God's purposes. But also, let me encourage you to seek Christian fellowship. It's important because when you're depressed, you don't want to see anybody. When you're depressed, you tend to isolate yourself from other people, and that's when you need the encouragement of other Christians more than ever. And I want to give you permission today, okay? I want to give you permission today. I give you permission to come to church when you're feeling lousy, okay? I give you permission to come to church when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling defeated, when you're feeling depressed. I give you permission to come to church when you're feeling so low, because that's when you need to be here the most. You need to get around your Christian brothers and sisters and let them encourage you and build you up. Ken Medima writes about the church. He says, "If this is not the place where tears are understood, then where shall I go? Where shall I go to cry?" It's okay to come to church when you're feeling depressed. You especially need to come to church when you're feeling depressed. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." That's the third thing that you can do when you're struggling with depression. Hey, listen, get in that Christian fellowship. Get around your brothers and sisters. Allow them to know what's going on in your life so they can pray for you, they can encourage you, and they can build you up. Because this is the whole point of the body of Christ, is to edify one another and to build each other up. But also continue to do good. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19 tells us, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." When you're depressed, sometimes it seems like, man, it's hard to do anything. It's hard to do anything. But if you are ever going to get out of that pit of depression, you need to keep moving forward. Elizabeth Elliot writes, "Do the next thing. Do the next thing. Maybe you have to get out of bed, get up from your chair, go outdoors and walk, sing a song out loud, bake a pie for somebody, mow the lawn as an offering of praise. But do something. Do the next thing. Keep doing whatever is good and positive in your life. Make sure you address the physical issues like proper sleep and diet and exercise. But if you live in a dark house, open up the blinds. First thing in the morning, turn on the lights. It's biblical. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7 says, "Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun." Open up those blinds. Let that be an encouragement to you. Continue to do good. That means keeping up spiritual disciplines like Bible reading and prayer and praise and fellowship, but it also means service. Serving others wherever you can. Those who suffer should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And you might find that the more you help others in their need, the greater the benefits you receive as well. It increases your joy to do good for others. That's one of the quickest ways that I know of that you can get out of your depression, is to go and to be a blessing to others and to help others. Because it is that joy that can fill your heart in doing so. But also, we need to realize that grief is temporary. In Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, it says, "For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Some losses we carry for life, but the intense grieving you are feeling right now is temporary. Nancy Leigh DeMoss writes in her book, Lies Women Believe, says, "Your night of weeping may go on for months or even years, but if you are a child of God, it will not go on forever. God has determined the exact duration of your suffering, and it won't last one moment longer than he knows is necessary to achieve his holy, eternal purpose in and through your life. Listen, the sun will always rise. And the day is coming when God will make it better. We have at the end of the book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's the fifth thing you can do, is to realize your grief is temporary. But also we end with the fruit of the Spirit, just like we've done with these other series, with these other problems that we've faced previously, as we grow in the fruit of the Spirit. When you put your faith in Jesus, Jesus puts His Holy Spirit inside of you in order to change you from the inside out. And these changes are what we call the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we've seen in today's study the fruit of joy and the fruit of goodness will especially help you when it comes to depression. And so think about your joy. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And one of the ways that you can get joy is through your goodness, helping others with their problems, helping others with their issue. That's one of the ways that you can help with your own depression. If you are struggling with depression here this morning, please know that there is hope. God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for your sins, and He sent Jesus to help you with your problems. And yes, Jesus is the Almighty, the infinite, eternal Son of God, but He also is a man of sorrows who is familiar with our suffering. And Jesus knows what you're going through, and He is available to help you and to comfort you in your time of need. Question is, will you put your faith and hope and trust in Him? Let me encourage you, trust God to help you in your time of need. He wants to demonstrate His glory through you, and if you allow Him to do so. Are you depressed here this morning? Well, Jesus can help you with your depression. So let me encourage you to allow Him to work in your life here today. And if this is something you're struggling with, if you need help in that area, then please make sure you get help. Come see us, or if you need some professional help, make sure you get some professional help. But we want to make sure that our church people, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you struggling? If you are, get around and talk to somebody. Find somebody you can trust so we can help you out in your time of need. I don't want you to go through this alone. So let me encourage you with that. And you can take these notes. They're online as well. So if you need to go and have a look online and review these notes, I'll encourage you to do so because I want you to get the help that you need. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for all that You've done for us. And Lord, we know that depression is a major problem here in Australia. And even in the secular world, we see it often promoted and inviting people to come to seek help in their mental state, Lord. And so I pray, God, that You would help us as a church to be there for those in our community, to be there for those even within our own ministry, Lord, that we might be able to help them, to assist them, to guide them so that they can get the help they need so that You can be glorified, Lord. Our ultimate goal is to glorify You. And so, Lord, pray that You'll give us the opportunity to do that as we reach out to those in need. And we do thank You so much for it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray.